It's the last of the evangelism and being comfortable sharing our faith talk that we're doing. So just as an opener, we'll have our three people come up. We're going to steal these stools and we're going to sit up top like we did last week. On your way up, there we go. What I want you to do, the rest of you, you're going to turn to each other and you're going to talk about a time where your faith practically needed you to do something. That because you were a Christian, you had to do something specific. Turn to the person next to you, not your spouse, please, and talk about the time you had to do something because you had faith. Up here, too. We're going to put her up here. You get the nice seat. I was wondering why you didn't come up. Okay, so... you didn't hear that. I was like, I asked Marcella to join our panel weeks ago, and she didn't come up. And she says, I didn't think I was called. Let me just remind you, okay? God loves you. You're called. Okay, let's start our video this morning.
Was a big idea from our first session in the series, it would probably be that God is already at work all around you, transforming lives. And if there's a big idea from the second session, it might be that God's inviting you and I to join him in that transforming work. Now we're in our third and final session, and the big idea for today is around what practical actions you can take to respond to all of this. We want to look at day-to-day activities that you can do that will set you up to engage in this work God's inviting us to. And I'm so glad we're talking about this because it'd be such a shame for us to just talk around ideas of reaching others without actually looking at how to do it. I am aware, though, that whenever we talk about practical steps to sharing our faith, that it can sometimes feel like formulaic or impersonal instead of relational and loving. So instead of seeing this all as like a formula, the practical actions we want to explore in this session are more like a way of living that can position us to step into the work God's doing around us. Before we get going, take a few minutes as a group to talk about this.
What comes to mind when you think about practical steps to sharing your faith? I gave you the mic. You don't have to be the first one to speak, but because it's easy for this to be over-intellectualized, right? We could talk about the idea of evangelism and think, oh, it'll just happen. If I can just live my life, it'll be okay. But and that's fine, because that's the experiential side of the Great Commission, where we just go as we're going, as we're living, who we are in Christ just pours out. But what he's talking about is what comes to mind to be intentional, not just experiential, not just as you go, but, hey, since I'm going, what can I do practically to put myself in the path of what God's already doing? So if that helps kind of feed any thoughts.
So one part of this for me has been in the relationships that I have with people who don't know Christ, to be sensitive and attuned and waiting for opportunities. And I'll just share very briefly an experience I had last night where I missed an opportunity. So we have a supper club. Some of the people in this church are part of that, and there are also some people who are not believers. And one of the people said to me, you know, I've been through a period of time where I've been afraid of dying. And so I have been reading books about dying and what that means. Well, is that an opportunity to talk about Christ? And did I? No, I did not. And it's just like God opened a door, and it is, you need to be prepared at, you never know when those moments are going to be happening. I'm sitting eating dinner with somebody, and God opens a door, and you need to be ready to share in those moments. I've had other moments where I have been more successful. It's just this one was last night, so I share that.
Well, and there's been so many times where I almost want to kick myself for the missed opportunity, but at the same time go, you know what, okay. I'll take it as a lesson. I need to be more mindful about who I am and what I'm doing, and maybe there's a reason I didn't land on that one as well as I could have. So,
I liked one of the things in the video there where he talked about this is not a formula.
Yeah.
Because so often we are looking for these nice little packages that this is the way you do it. And that's probably the biggest avenue to disillusionment and disappointment in the Christian life. Because we try to do things the way another church has done it or another individual has done it. Rather than just being true to ourselves and saying, God, use me as I am, we try to get this nice little package, and it never works.
Well, and that's the thing, is formulas only work for the context that they come out of, right? So that's why we can't reproduce another church's model of church growth or another church's pattern of congregational life. It has to be unique and identifying us. what comes to mind is I was out for one of my first visits pastorally with someone here in town. We went out for a little snack together, and we noticed our waitress had a tattoo. And he's an entomologist nut, like a hobby entomologist. It means he likes bugs. So we noticed a moth on her tattoo. So we started talking about that. We started talking about science and biology and how fascinating all the biological structures are and the way they function. And it drew the waitress in. She goes, well, what are you guys doing? Like, where are you from? You guys are talking about faith and science. And that's weird. And, hello, open door, right? So it became a very great conversation that ended and ended to an invitation to Alpha. So, it's sometimes it's easy, but I think the problem with the formula is, and I've said this before, I'm going to say it again, what you win people with is what you win them to. So if you win people with the formula, what's their faith going to start to look like? Follow the rules, follow the steps, you'll be okay with God. But that's not true. The truth is, it's a relationship.
Well, the first time I ever came in contact with sharing Christ was when it was shared with me, when I needed it more than anything in my life. And the person who shared it with me was so compassionate and so kind to me that I couldn't wait to get to this building, this church. And I wanted to know, I needed to know. And that person showed me how in that way. She just came alongside me, told me of God, reminded me of Jesus, and then asked me to come. Just that simple. An invitation. And I've issued many invitations, and I've felt that in itself is a way. And if the invitation isn't accepted, I always offer to pray for the person to help in that way. So that's how I go about showing my faith to others who don't understand it, but who are looking for something. And that's what I show them.
Wow, a million thoughts going through my mind. I would say the biggest thing for me, and I actually, Bill and I the other night were having a quick chat, and Bill just went, Christ, my life is in your hands. And I'm a control freak. I like to determine all my outcomes. And when I was 15, that was fine because I didn't have other responsibilities compared to now. I could just kind of focus on myself and control the outcomes. But as I get older, I realize I have less and less control of, let alone my outcome and others around me. So increasingly I rely on Christ to go, you got to guide me through this, you know. And recently, last month or two, my prayers have been, I don't have the answers. I don't even know how faithful I've been. But I am leaning on you, Jesus, to guide me through this today. And I think that, again, Ron, you touched on it, you don't have to determine the outcome. Because if I try to determine the outcome, I just put myself into a corner. And then people who don't believe or don't know Christ, they're going to look right through that and go, well, this guy's a bit of a hypocrite. So I really look to Christ and I just go, I'm in your hands. Do with me what you will today, whatever the outcome is, and relax and let him just go through your life. And when that happens, you get the peace in Christ. I feel relaxed. And then I just fall into these conversations. And I'm not saying I'm having all these dynamo moments with people, but I'm having some really good selected conversations, I think, kind of with my work, with my colleagues, where people are kind of coming to me. We're going through a managerial crisis where the manager left, and I'm just trying to do my job. And people are coming to me saying, hey, Chris, what do you think? And then you start segueing into these other conversations of, you know, kind of like, they kind of know, how are you keeping your head on straight going through all this? And I'm just like, I follow Jesus, you know, and you just let Jesus do his work. You know, he's got it figured out. He's got the plan. We just need to just walk with him. Straightforward.
You know, that's in terms of practical steps to sharing your faith, staying focused, staying centered on Jesus and not getting into formulas or plans or systems is actually probably one of the best pieces of advice. You know, stay true to the center, and that helps. Okay. Actually, and there are some groups that teach the seven steps to salvation, and here's how you do it. And if you miss step four, they're not going to become a Christian or something like that. I don't know. But it's sometimes they get kind of formulaic, and you know, it's funny because I haven't had the chance to share this with very many people, but I became a Christian by reading the Bible on my own. So I borrowed a Christian's Bible on the bus. I badgered them into giving me their Bible for the night. I read the Bible, and I gave him back his Bible the next day. And he says, I told him I became a Christian. And he says, great, who led you to the Lord? And I said, what? What does that even mean? And so, you know, an hour later, he comes back. He finds me on campus, comes back, flips open the back of the Bible. And he goes, did you read this? And it was the Sinner's Prayer page. I remember looking at it going, man, that would have made it so easy. So it took days to convince him I was a Christian. That's the funny thing. But so, you know, that's the thing. God is unique with each of us, and so he'll do something to surprise you. So, let's continue.
I was on staff at a large church, and I loved what I did, but I had a crisis. One day, a normal day like any other day, when I came home and my wife had just started inviting neighbors over to share a meal with us. She'd rolled the grill out, and as people were coming home, she just said, why don't you come over and we'll share a meal together? And all of a sudden, I realized all these people that surrounded me, I didn't even know their names. I was a professional Christian. My job was to help a church get to know the city and the neighborhood. And I didn't even know the people that surrounded my apartment complex. And as we got to know them at that meal, we started to share life with these people, people who were going through domestic violence things and dealing with addictions and folks that had all kinds of problems. When I was used to getting into my car to drive to do church ministry stuff, when there were needs all around me. And in a sense, we became the pastors of that apartment complex. So when we went to move to Denver to plant a church, we decided we want to take the Great Commandment literally. Not figuratively, literally, which meant we needed to know the names of the neighbors, of the people that surround us, to love them, to serve them, to pray for them. And, well, that's shaped what became our church. Everyone that came with us, we made a commitment to spend time in our front yards, to share meals with people in our homes, to hear their stories, to pray for them, to pray with them, and learn how to live life together. And in this, I think we took the great commandment literally, to love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And your neighbor actually includes your literal neighbor. And so that small step opened us up to actually thinking about how cities might change. What if everybody took that seriously? What if everyone that says that they follow Jesus took that seriously? But what if everybody took that seriously? We might just see a ripple effect in every city that we're in. Instead of trying to do everything out there, what if we started right in here? The step to take is really simple. It requires walking the 20 or 30 feet and doing this really complicated maneuver, which is knocking on their door and then saying, "Hi, I live over here. I don't know your name. I've not had a chance to meet you." If you're new in a neighborhood, it goes better. But if you've been there a while, it can be even more awkward. And here's why. Because you probably knew their name at some point. Like you met them at one point and they've just become like cat lady or, "Hey, what's up, dude, bro, man?" And you have these super shallow conversations that usually revolve around the local sports team or a restaurant that came to town. And you have to go over a little speed bump, this little teeny speed bump that's awkward, where you say, "I know I should know your name. I am so sorry, but I can't remember it." And then my recommendation is that you write it down. We use a little tool that we call Block Map. It's effectively a tic-tac-toe board. Just on your refrigerator, make a tic-tac-toe board and just write the names of your neighbors. And that way, when you look at them, you can start to remember them. And who knows? You might even start to pray for them. And who knows even further? God might actually begin to break your heart for them. When you get to know someone's name, something strange happens in our minds where we begin to connect to their story. And we begin to remember parts of their story and we remember their name. And it's the most dignified thing we can do for others is to know their name, capture pieces of their story as a means of demonstrating we care about them. And I think that's what Jesus asks us to do. He asks us to love people. And by this, we show that we're his disciples. That can start somewhere simple by knowing their name, capturing a bit of their story, and then reflecting that back to them. And if you already know the names of your neighbors, here's another step you can take, which is maybe you could share a meal with them. Here's a guess about all your neighbors. I have a guess. They probably eat food. Another guess. They probably eat food around the same time you eat food. And if you make a little extra food, and you let them bring some of their food, you can actually share a meal together. And sharing a meal together is one of the most intimate things you can do, and it's actually one of the most simple things you can do. I believe that evangelism, moving forward, will be mostly lived out and worked out through hospitality. That people will open their homes and open their lives to connect with others in a way that they can see the life of Jesus and the hope that God has in their lives by just looking at them, by sharing space with them, by sharing time with them. This is what Jesus modeled. I mean, if you take the parties out of the New Testament, you don't have a New Testament. If you take meals and the connection that we have around food from the whole of the Bible, you don't have a story of the Bible. You take the Passover away. That's a big thing to take away from the Bible. Sharing space and time together where we open our hearts up, we ask questions, and we live life together is best done around food and around a meal and in a place where people feel welcomed. We all have a part to play, and God is so well pleased to use every single one of us if we're willing. If we say, "God, use me," he can use you no matter what.
So what stood out to you from what Jay shared? What inspired and challenged you in it?
when I think of what keeps me from sharing at times, two things come to mind, and they're kind of linked. One would be pride, and the other would be selfishness. Pride, because when you start to engage with people, they really get to know who you are. And there are sometimes things that you probably are hiding from people. Maybe something you said or done you don't want them to know about. So you keep yourself from sharing with them because all of a sudden they're going to call you out. And that's foolish pride that can keep us from becoming involved in somebody's life. And selfishness is just when my time is more important than their eternity. That I'm choosing things of this world over the fact that they could come into an eternal relationship with a loving God.
Yeah, it's interesting. In particular, the first one, the pride, because we like the illusion of distance, that we're separate from them, and that they see us and look, I have a nice yard, and then I drive my car, and it's always clean, and my kids are mostly well behaved outside. So I mean, or whatever it is. So you don't want to break that picture of you got it all composed. There's that pride that's there. And maybe the embarrassment of, well, if they really knew what it's like, they might not be so impressed with me. Or I won't think that they're as impressed with me. You know. So, and Janet had shared about your meals group, your dining out thing.
It's sometimes hard to make that leap from, even when you develop a relationship with people, to make that leap into then talking about faith issues. Yeah. So it is sort of that challenge to, you know, to make sure you're ready when people ask, but then also to even be creating opportunities. I think we're concerned about our image and being, you know, judged for being a Christian, because being a Christian isn't necessarily a positive thing in our society. It is important that, you know, we think about the eternal consequences for the people that we do know and the people that are around us. And I feel it's easy to keep things on a fairly superficial level. And I mean, this is Canada. We have this time outside, and then we don't. We're not outside anymore. So it's kind of like, you know, over the summertime, people are outside a lot, and they're around a lot. And it is a lot easier to develop that kind of conversation, to have things on a more casual, like come over for a barbecue level. I know somebody who did that, just invited people for a barbecue, and they all came.
Yeah, I've heard.
And you could
like
do that more easily in the summertime, but then to move it to the next level is always a challenge. And I'm challenging myself. Prayer is the key to that. To just be praying for those opportunities, and that God will open doors, and that God will give me boldness.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and when we focus our mind in prayer on God and His kingdom, and looking for opportunities, we are, because our mind is already there, and we're praying for God to be active and for us to see where God is active, we're more inclined to pick up on it. So when the opportunity presents, we're already ready, because it's been in our head and heart for weeks. So, you know, you're spot on.
Well, I live in a seniors building. And in a seniors building, everybody's got the TV set to watch the doors, the back and front doors, so they see who's coming in and out of the building. So they pretty much have figured out my schedule. And Sunday morning, like during the days, you have the crowds of people that gather in the lobby because, you know, it's the gathering place to catch up. And as I'm going in and out, They'll yell out to me, "Where are you going today, Marcella?" "Oh, I'm on my way to Bible study," or "I'm on my way to church." "Say a prayer for me." "Oh, sure, I will." And it's like every time, and I invite them, come with me. oh, no, I can't go up. Well, these are seniors. And they're sort of like housebound. And getting to the lobby is sometimes the biggest thing they can do. But I try to, I don't know if the Lord is pushing me or if I'm pushing. That's when I can't find the difference. Because I'll say to them, well, you know, we could probably share a cab. Oh, no, I can't go today. Okay, I'll pray for you. Okay, did you? And when I come back, they're still there. When I go home from church today, Marion and Alice will still be in the lobby because I saw them this morning and they asked me to pray for them, so they want to know if I prayed for them. So they'll be there waiting for me to let them know that I prayed for them. So that's how it happens with seniors. And I don't get a lot of contact with people who aren't seniors unless I'm on the bus, and I do a lot of contacting on the bus. Oh, I don't know. It's the book I'm reading because I take my Jesus is calling or Jesus always with me and I'm leafing through and it's not always the day of. I just look for good messages in it. And as I'm reading it, somebody sitting next to me will say, oh, that's interesting. Where'd you get that book? And I'll point it out to them and tell them what it is and that type of thing. Those are the types of opportunities. And where do you go to church? Oh, I go to Pine Grove Bible Church on Acres Road. Oh, where's that? And I'll give them directions. It's like, you know, if the opportunity comes up for me, I tell them, I'm like, okay, you're a stranger to me. Sometimes I get names. I got people calling me because I talked with them on the bus.
So Marcella's masterclass on evangelism will be
It's just pleasant conversation on the bus.
Yeah.
In our walk, in our family, in our neighborhood, not that we haven't mastered, but I always, Leslie and I talk about the bus stop in the morning, and over the last 4 years, 5 years, or whatever it's been, going to the bus stop is a routine, and we always discuss, like, people are watching us walk down to the bus every morning. It's kind of like Marcella's saying, it's routine. People know when we're bringing the kids out to school. You know that. So anyway, there's a family that's in our neighborhood, and they've got two fine young sons, and the younger son is I'm going to politely say, quite challenging for me at times, and I kind of own him like he's my own boy. And anyway, I just feel like sometimes, no, most of the time, I'm going nowhere with this kid, and but I continue to do the best I can, even when some mornings, you know, I haven't had a coffee and I'm horribly miserable and he's pushing my buttons and I'm just like, have a good day at school. And anyways, this has been going on for a few years. Well, the other day, I usually drop the kids off in the morning and Leslie usually does the afternoon. Well, I did the afternoon shift and I hadn't seen this lad in an afternoon for I don't know how long. And he comes off the bus and he just goes, Chris, so good to see you. When he comes up and he gives me a big hug, my heart just melted. And I'm like, where have you been my whole life? Like, you're just such a good little boy. And he's like, it's just like your family and our family. It's just like we're just one big family. And his heart was just gushing. And I'm like, oh. You're like just immense. I'm so immensely proud of this kid. I'm getting goosebumps talking about it. And I've had some other situations where I've prayed with his dad and stuff, and I wish they would come to our church. But there's one thing that's clear is that they know that we love them, and they know that we pray for them. And it's in God's timing. You know, I actually got quite bitter with the husband, and I kind of called him and I said, you need Jesus. Now, this is extreme for me. I don't think I've done this with anyone. But I'm like, you need Jesus. And he's like, I know. I can't force him to accept God. That's between him and God. But if there's one thing I'm going to do, I'm going to make it real clear to the people that got close to me that I love God. I love Jesus. I'm not going to force them to come to me. That's God's timing, in my belief. But I'm going to let people know that if you need me, I love you, and I care about you, and you can talk to me about anything without being judged, without being told what to do other than go to Jesus. Go to Jesus. I'm not going to save you. Jesus is going to save you. You know, and it's pretty cool to have these moments. Another quick story. I know I can go all day long, but we had another neighbor that his wife had literally been run over a car when they were walking, They're a retired couple, and I never forget, I walked out of the door, I closed the door, he's across the road, and our eyes just locked. And right then I knew, like, he's standing there, our eyes locked, and I went, something's not good. And he just looked at me, and he just went, Chris, my wife was just run over by a car, and she's in the hospital. And I went right over to him, and I just prayed with him right there, and I said, it's going to be okay. And she's okay. They're out walking again. Everything's great. But I don't have to force Jesus down their throat. I just need to be there when they need me, you know, and in God's timing. And that's where I find peace, and then I find love, and I find where Jesus is. And that, to me, is more real. I think Janet nailed it. Like, this is where we need to just be real with people. You know, Christians, I don't think Christians are viewed very well these days. We need to be real, period. Pine Grove's real. That's what I love about Pine Grove.
Yeah, that is one of the joys we have as this congregation, is that we're a very genuine group of people. And so, you know, shameless plug for online listeners, please come and join us. Join this community of people, because listening online doesn't give you a sliver of what it's like to be in a group of people that love you. And that's where the real life of church comes to substance, right? Because that's really what Jay was talking about. That's really what we've all been talking about, is living my Christian faith genuinely, openly in front of others, warts and all. And opportunities will come, and I may be ready for it or I may not. But the point of it is that Christ is the center of my life. And as I open my life to you, whoever you are, that's where they can't help but get that picture of Jesus out of me. They can't help but see it. They can't help but get it, whether it's through our conversations or not. So let's finish our video.
My mom left when I was a baby, and my dad raised me until I was 4. My dad thought it was best for me to go to Germany to grow up with his sister. I remember the day when we went to the airport, and I remember holding on to that gate because I didn't want to leave him. I hated my father for leaving me. Sending me somewhere I don't know. When I was 7, I got abused from a neighbor. I hated God. I hated him for all the stuff I went through. And I was like, oh, if you exist, why would you, like, do this to me, you know? I was looking for a nanny job, and I saw Stephanie's post.
You know, I just put an ad out there for a nanny.
And so the day that she walked in, we kind of just thought, you know what, this makes a ton of sense. Let's just do this.
Matt was on the phone, and he was like, yeah, Rahul, we would love to have you as Riley's nanny, and we would welcome you to our family. And I was like, what? This is crazy.
We have so many people coming through this house. And she would ask, like, who are all these people? You know, they babysit your kids and they come over here and play with your kids. And it's like, why would they do that? So they love our kids. You know, we're really involved with each other. And we love each other. We're all part of the same community. She's like, well, I'd love to check that out.
So Matt and Steph invited me to church. It was weird because I'm like, never went to church ever. They were just so nice and so welcoming, right? And I was like, oh, this is like a different experience. Like, I like going there.
I think we were advertising for Alpha. Alpha was just coming back. And I said, you know, this would be a great way for you to learn more about who Jesus is.
And I was like, okay, fine, I'm going to go meet new people. And yeah, that was the reason why I went to Alpha. First night, I didn't really interact much with other people. I just, like, listened and was quiet, I think, the first night. The second night, the third night, I felt like, oh, this is, like, really powerful, right? Like, I started, like, engaging more and, like, asking questions. I think it was the time when it was about forgiveness. It was just so powerful that, you know, he forgave us for everything we did and that he still loves us, right? How can he, like, love me when I did, like, so many stuff, you know? How can I forgive myself? How can I forgive people who hurt me? I think that was the moment when the dog I had inside went away and the light came through. Yeah.
When you came home and told us that, you know, you wanted to be baptized, obviously we were really excited for her. And then when she asked me to baptize her, I was floored. It was really exciting.
Well, it was actually so easy. That's the other thing I can't get over, is that I really did so little to, like, introduce you. I mean, so much of it is you just hearing what was true and then just running with it and diving in. Not everyone does that. But then I just feel like I'm getting so much credit for doing so little.
I mean, just saying, it's not little. It's like a big, you know, it's huge for you guys to, like, bring me into your home, you know, trusting me, being in your house and taking care of your daughter. You know, like, showing me this, like, oh man, this is this great love God has for you. You know, you should come and experience it too. You know, it's like, you know, without you, I don't think I would have it now. So, yeah.
When I first heard Jay Pathick talk about loving our neighbors, what stood out to me was how accessible it all felt. Praying for people by name, getting to know my neighbors, extending an invitation. It's stuff I can do. It's easy. Well, I know it's not easy, but it's easier than how I often make it. And I guess what I mean is these are the kind of practices that you and I can build into our lives right away. But I don't want you to feel like, you know, all this pressure to do it all at once. Just start small. Take one idea and put it into action. Start praying for people that you work with by name, or introduce yourself to your neighbor, or invite a friend to church or to Alpha or to a meal at your home. I found that it's often these small steps that lead to unexpected opportunities. So whatever you do, don't do nothing. Take a step and see what God might do with it. You know, this whole series was meant to help spark a conversation that can lead to new engagement with God and other people in your life. And the beauty of starting the conversation as a group like you've done is that whatever next steps you take, you get to walk them out together, which is way more meaningful and way more fun. And as you share your life and share your faith in Jesus with others, you will get a front row seat to see people's lives transformed by the love of God.
Okay, so any concluding thoughts from this, from our panel?
Started thinking just yesterday about this and realizing that often out of chaos comes community. Yeah. That it's in the hard times when you come alongside somebody else, that's where true community building starts to happen. It can be the simple things. It can be helping somebody push their car out of the snow pile. It could be coming alongside when something happens really drastic in their family. And interestingly enough, this is not something that is restricted to the Christian community. I was at a party yesterday afternoon. Somebody was celebrating the year of the anniversary of the tornado. Their home had lost its roof, and I had the privilege of actually doing their roof for them. But they invited me back with a number of others in the community. And this fellow, he's a relationship expert, does counseling. And he actually handed me a little thing, and he wrote this. The expression, disaster brings out community, came to mind in the middle of this tornado destruction zone. I was saddened by the thought that this support network might fade away after a few months. I've been involved in the organization and development of several sustainable community organizations that are now over 40 years old. A tornado like this shows us that the desire for the capacity to build community exists in our neighborhoods. And follow-through is what is required to keep that spirit alive. And I think for the church, we need to understand that disaster is all around us. Chaos is all around us. Yeah, we can use that to build community, and what it takes is us to follow through.
Yeah.
So I don't want to overstep. Maybe you got some wild plans here, but forgive me if I do. I want to pose a challenge to the congregation, and whenever I point a finger, I'm always pointing back at myself. So this challenge isn't for you to do and for me to sit here and judge. This challenge is on me too. Alpha is a wonderful vehicle because everything is set up. All we need to do is get people in, you know, and the more ultimately having this church filled would be just absolutely amazing. But if one person came in here, one person, and their soul was saved, that's just awesome. I work in sales, and one of the things in sales which I always use to drive myself when I don't feel like getting out and engaging people is I call it the grid. And in my business, I sell a whole basket of product to a whole bunch of customers. So if I look at it all at once, it kind of overwhelms me. But what I do is I pick sort of the top, I call the top 10. Top 10 obvious, so the top 10 customers are people. Line them up here, and then I go to my top 10 products, and I line it here. And then I just work the grid. So this grid is real simple because you could just pick your people, and then you could just have one thing. Let them know about Alpha. And that doesn't have to go up, like that doesn't have to be me going up and saying, oh, hi, Ron, you're my neighbor, you have to go to Alpha. oh, you're welcome. Maybe that is it, but you don't have to force it, but maybe it's just a hey, here's an Alpha card. You want to check it out? Let me know. Leave it up to you. Have a great day. You know, we'll talk later. But maybe you work that grid. So my challenge could be, you know, all of a sudden, I kind of had three people in mind that I want to invite. Now I'm like, maybe I should do 10 if I want to work that grid. It's not that hard. I don't think I'm going to get shot doing it. And if it saves someone's life, that's a pretty good outcome. So
I didn't put them up to that. But so we're running a couple minutes over, so I'm just going to wrap up in a word of prayer here. And last thought on it before we dismiss from this and we invite the worship team up is Alpha is a great venue to invite people to participate. It gives you the context to have those conversations. But to be honest, if you don't invite anybody to Alpha ever and you just did what they're talking about here, you're a great missionary for Christ. A great ambassador for the kingdom. And that's, we're going to continue to explore that over the next couple months of what it means to be an ambassador for Christ. So let's close in a word of prayer. And please, if you feel at all, like even if you haven't taken Alpha, come out, check it out. You might be influencing somebody else that came. So I want you to consider this an open invite. There are cards at the back to distribute. Please take a few and hand them out. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for this time to relate openly about what it means to practically walk in your ways. Thank you for the gift of fellowship, the gift of transparency and vulnerability and community. You know, God, you have always been excellent at being there when we were at our least. Even when we weren't even following you, God, you were there. And, you know, Father, I think most of the time we just have to draw attention to your love and presence that's already at work. So God, help us to be ambassadors for you. Help us to be willing and intentional. Whether we do a great job or not, you tend to show up when we make room. So we thank you for that. And bless us as we go from here, Lord. We trust that you are already at work in us and in our communities and in our relationships. In Jesus' name.
Thank you to our panel, and we'll hand back over to the worship team.